club football, he pisses all over him. So
yeah.
It's just Messi. We all know what Messi can do.
A lot of flair, a lot of skill.
People might forget the names, but the streets certainly won't.
It is day 31 of Podmas. I bet everyone is disappointed. I'm disappointed. You lot are disappointed, but I'm going to go out with a bang. Another beautiful fact for you. Jack, what does this podcast also represent?
So, podcasts represent, one, our first ever revisit of a topic. So, we said before in a few episodes, yeah, we'll come back to this in the future and stuff. But this is actually one that we're going to be revisiting an old topic. And two, it's actually 150 episodes after this topic. So what we're going to be talking about is the top 10 players under the age of 21, and that was our second ever episode, and now it's episode 152 because we're doing it again.
Madness. I can't believe how many we've done, but I must say, underline under 21, right? Not 21 and under.
Yeah, there's a slight difference, isn't there, in that, because that one we included 21 year old. Be fair, if we included 21-year-olds again on this one, there would probably be a fair few similar names, but everyone on our old list is now ineligible. So we've got a brand new list for you.
Yeah,
and it's, as you said, under 21, so it's 20 and under. And we've kind of done it on a mixture of how they are right now, player, so what we feel their potential is going to be in the future.
Yeah, I mean, we saw from the last lot, previous podcast that we did on the 21s and under, almost all of them that we mentioned have gone on to do big things. I mean, refresh my memory, Jack, but obviously we said Haaland obviously lit up the world. Reece James has now become a massive, massive figure in Chelsea.
Well, that was a big shout for you, say Reece James, at the time, but nowhere, and now he completely burst the scene. And also, you had Pulisic as well, who wasn't doing much, but basically, not long after he said about him, he started to rip it up for Chelsea or getting in. So, yeah, listen out for these because we've had some good shout in the preview.
Yeah, and I'm not that I'm Chelsea biased, is that I know a lot more about Chelsea youth than probably the average person. And there's a few players I'm going to mention now. They're not on my list, but I feel like you'll be hearing a lot more about them in the future. There's one called, I think it's Caldwell. He plays a Coventry at the moment, centre, and he's supposed to be the bee's knees. Like, everyone's talking about Rudiger leaving Chelsea. They're not worried at Chelsea. I think, you know, they can give or take, doesn't matter, because this kid can come in under the right guidance. I think he can be a top player. I mean, you saw what happened to Chalobah this year. Same with this kid. I think he's going to come in. There's another one called Xavier Mbappé, I think his name, Dutch player. People say he's the next Van Dijk. We've heard that before, Saliba. But yeah, he's a player that you should look out for. There's some others. Billy Gilmore, how old is he?
He's only about 20.
Well, he's making my list. He's making my top 10. We've made a list already, but he's definitely making my top 10. I'm putting him in straight away. There's Conor Gallagher, who is currently ripping it up in the Premier League for Palace, and I've got no doubt he's going to be with Mason Mount next year in that starting 11. He carries on in this vein. Ian Matson as well, another left back. I think he also plays in Coventry as well. I might be wrong, or Huddersfield. And again, a rapid player. He's a bit like Lamptey. Not the biggest of players, but rapid left back. And he can do everything that James does. Just probably not the physical side. So I'm excited to see what all these players. And there's obviously the one player that didn't make my top 10, but I feel like, again, if he's given the opportunity, I think he'd be a top player. And you can see it currently. He's playing for Southampton on loan. He's done it at Chelsea youth for many years. He's done it in Chelsea's pre-season games, and that's Broja. Probably an FPL favourite currently. And I feel like, yeah, he's someone who's got the physical attributes, the intelligence as a striker, to dominate games and lead the line for Chelsea. And you know what Chelsea's like. You know, they struggle with strikers. Maybe it's time to let the youth, you know, develop up front as well. It's worked elsewhere. If he can come in and cement his place, there's no reason why not. And seeing as Chelsea's such a big club, if he can do it on the big stage, well, his oyster, I think. And there are a few names just at Chelsea that I feel will be heard within the next year or two. So watch this space. There's that one for Arsenal, right? I don't follow Arsenal youth much, but there's a one player for Arsenal. I think he's a centre mid, and he reminds me of Billy Gilmore a little bit. You might be able to enlighten me what his name is.
Will that be Charlie?
That's it. That's his name, yeah.
I think he reminds Jack Wilshere past.
He's a brilliant player.
Yeah, he scored a couple of goals that are very similar to the under-23 levels, one against Man United. So, yeah, I'm excited to see him get a bit more game time, the League Cup and FA Cup next year. But yeah, asked quite a few youngsters, they're not necessarily sort of 20, 21, but it was sort of well noted our transfer policy over the summer was to get these 22, 23 year olds in. So yeah, people like Martin Odegaard and Martinelli are starting to make an impression on the team now. So yeah, the future is looking good as well.
Definitely 100, I think. Yeah, it's weird. And it's weird that some of these names we're going to mention in a second, you know, they're not, they're Premier League, where previously you would have been, you know, the next best talent would have come out of the Serie A or tend to be French League sometimes, don't they? All the youth players normally come out of the French League. We're here, all real yeah. mixed, but Premier League have now started to shine, which is good. So I don't know how you feel about this. We agreed, some bit of controversy already. We agreed our top 10, so to speak. And we just clocked that Billy Gilmore is under 21.
Let me just check that. I think
double check because I
think that is
okay. Pretty sure he is because I think he was only 18 last year.
Yeah, he's 20 now.
Yeah, so I'll make him 19. Yeah. So for me, I haven't seen a player so calm. I know he had this stint at Norwich, and again now he's back in the team. He's making things happen. But when for some reason, what's his name, Farquhar or whatever, wasn't playing him. I don't know why, but he's such an intelligent player. Receives the ball on the half turn and player pass wherever. He can just, he's so balanced in the ball. He knows how to drop in between the lines, knows when to come and collect the ball. And he's so commanding. For someone his age, he's just got that leadership presence in that midfield. A lot of people don't understand Jorginho. And, you know, I can understand why the game has changed somewhat. But Billy Gilmore could do that job. And my dream is for Billy Gilmore to fill in Jorginho's boots once Georgie goes, and him be sitting there with Mason Mount, Declan Rice, Conor Gallagher, you know, they're just the youth players of that squad come through. And Billy has to be pivotal to that. He's such a good player. And when you saw him at the Euros as well, he was the one pulling strings against England, and an amazing game. You can't touch him. He's not physically big. He's just clever on the ball. So I'm going to stick him at 10. And if you agree with me, I think I'm going to take Rodrigo out.
Yeah, I'm happy with that, to have Gilmore at 10. I've not seen him a lot this year at Norwich, but the times I have seen that Scotland-England game, he's got to have been one of the best players on the park, if not man of the match, every time that he's played. He does remind me a little bit as well of a player we'll talk about later on the list. But yeah, he's just got that control to his game already, which is, yeah, as you say, so rare for someone from Scotland anyway, or someone growing up in the British game.
That's
normally
it.
It's a little bit more, you know, gladiator type stuff, but this guy playing with his head first and then his body after, really, he's so clever for his age.
Beautiful to see. I know Pep's had a few comments on him, and there was a fight for his signature when he was at Rangers, and I believe Man City were in for him, Man United, and I think Real Madrid. And I feel like at that time there was a player who Sporting Lisbon picked up, and they were also looking around Billy Gilmore. So it's one of those things where, you know, those, I don't know, you always hear of these youth players get picked up at young age or scouted or touted for all these clubs. And you don't hear from them for a while, and then they just pop up at the scene and you realise that was that kid from 3 or 4 years ago, that people, it just shows the groundwork they do, like years before. So yeah, it's crazy. Next one then. Another British talent, Mason Greenwood.
Yeah, Mason Greenwood. I mean, he's probably the best finisher that we've got on this list, really. When he's in that penalty box, if he gets a shot off, it's a goal more often than not, really. I've not quite seen maybe enough from him in terms of the ability to kind of work goals himself necessarily and dribbling and stuff. But yeah, when it comes to kind of that real end product, Greenwood's got that down to a T already. Yeah, obviously that's going to continue to grow as he gets older.
Yeah, he's again, we talk about Billy Gilmore being balanced. No, I've not seen a player at any age at the moment, apart from your world-class players, have 2 feet so equal. You know, he can shoot with his right, shoot with his left, can't he? He's so balanced in that aspect. And he's been able to keep a spot, you know, in certain periods of the season. with the likes of Sancho in the team, Ronaldo, who's now playing up front. There's other Rashford, Martial. You know, these are not small names, and he's been able to come in and keep his spot. He's a good player. My problem with him is the off the field stuff. Obviously, he had that controversy with Foden, England. Still young. I just don't know if he's got the mentality. He's not had the players around him, I don't think, except for Ronaldo now, to build that kind of mentality of wanting to win, that winning mentality, that going the extra mile, that extra push in games to win. However, that being said, he does save United quite often with a goal or two. I just feel like it's the mentality on and off the field that just needs a bit of a fine-tuning before we can really say, like, this kid's going to go to the top level, world-class standard. Because once your Ronaldo's, Messi's and all that have gone, you are left with Mbappe, Haaland. Then this kind of gap, it's kind of a gap at the moment between, like, I suppose, your Mason Mounts, Foden. And then these lot here, because they're young, they're still establishing themselves, what are they going to do to get to that level above them lot? So above your Mason Mounts, get to that Mbappe stage. It's going to be very hard for some of these players. I think Greenwood has a bags of potential, bags. But I just don't think he's got the mentality to say you're Mbappe's and Haaland to get anywhere near that level. I don't know what you think, but that's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, I think the situation he's in, a difficult one as well. He's obviously a Man United fan, boy club. Man United are not going to want to lose him. And in many ways, what they're doing is right. You know, they're not overplaying him and using him in every game because they've got Ronaldo there. But at the same time, he was looking really good at the start of the season before Ronaldo came. Yeah, now it seems it's more Sancho and Rashford are the preferred options rather than him. So, yeah, as much as it's, you mentioned mentality as well, like Haaland, Mbappe want to be the star and they'll do everything basically to make sure that they are. Whereas, yeah, don't think Greenwood's quite at that level, but, you know, not everyone can be like that. He's still a top talent.
Yeah, spot on. Next one then, I mentioned earlier on about the French. I think I had one, which we didn't mention last year, but it seemed to pop up, and it's Tamiochi or something like that. He's from Monaco and he's a centre mid. Obviously, he's not going to make this list because he's not 20, not under 21. But from that same kind of camp in France, produced player. I suppose people would like him to pop on. Would you think? Like Camavinga, his name.
Obviously, well, he's kind of, I suppose, a mix between him and Kante, because it'd be interesting to see what he does. Well, he has started a bit, still early days. He was winning, really good at winning the ball back, like what one of the best in the French league at that age, 18 years old.
Yeah.
But now he's at Real Madrid as well. It's going to be, oh, what can he do with a team that's got most of the big stage, a team that has a lot more of the ball as well. But his strength, certainly, you know, winning the ball back, and he can pass it as well. Probably not his main thing.
He's a good player. What I would say before I go into the rest of it, I feel like this list lacks, like, it's not as good as last year's under 20 list. Personally,
I don't think.
I think the names last year were unreal. When you look at these lot, I think there's a lot more for them to do. But yeah, I think Camavinga, I think he's at a big club now. Personally, I don't think it was the right move. I think he needed another year or two. I mean, Rennes, the club that he did well in. I think he played against Chelsea one in the Champions League. I think he was injured for one of the rounds. Didn't really take notice of him. He was in the show. I mean, there was a lot of talk about him at the time. He wasn't like unknown. And obviously, when you've got clubs like Man United after you, Real Madrid, there's a lot of pressure on you. I think he's dealt with it, but I don't think he's going to come in and change anything much for Real Madrid. I can only see him being like a bench player with the names that you've got there. I mean, if I take, for instance, Kovacic, I think the likes of Casemiro were there and Kroos and whoever, Modric. Kovacic was always going to be a bench player, even though bags might have talent. I just feel like that's the same fate that Camavinga is going to get. I feel like Real Madrid is going to go back in the market, find someone who's probably got a lot more experience, better talent, and bench him. I just think he's going to be a really good backup player. But in terms of if he does make the right move, I just don't think he's at the right place at the moment. But I think if he makes the right move somewhere else, like Man United would have been a good move. I think if he was the replacement for Pogba, so say they did a swap deal for Pogba and Camavinga, I think that would be a good move for him if he did something like that. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. But he's someone who needs to be a starter, I feel, at his age to develop. I think he's one of those players, if he just gets left out for quite a bit, like, what's his name, Jovic, at Real Madrid. You get left out quite a bit, you're going to lose that kind of confidence, ability, you know, game time. It affects you. And I feel like Camavinga is one of those players. So, yeah, hopefully things turn around for him. Not that he's really bad at the moment, but I feel like there's so much more to give at the moment with him. So we'll see in the future. He's a good player. Just needs that bit of game time, I suppose.
I think what he's got over like Gilmore is why he's higher on the world. It's like his pure size. He's going to be able to do things at, you know, the DM role, the number six, or whatever you want to call it, that Gilmore might not be able to do. And although he doesn't really score many goals at all,
yeah,
I can imagine him being like a five goal midfielder in the future, which obviously doesn't sound like a lot, but that is pretty good from a, you know, from the deepest midfield player. And yeah, we've already seen in France, like he's only played a handful of games, French national, but I think he scored on his debut at the Basque. So yeah, he is capable of that. But he's got some really good like physical gifts.
Oh,
yeah,
is he at
Rennes. Yeah, he's 19.
Yeah. I think, Billy, for me, I think needs more, again, same thing with Camavinga, kind of. He needs to establish a spot in the team. So at Rennes, he was doing that. Camavinga, and, you know, if he carries on maybe internationally, gets some friendlies under his belt, he needs to establish that in the team. But the names we were probably from the top five, they've all established themselves in the team, whereas Camavinga hasn't yet, and Billy hasn't yet. Especially, you know, when you go on loan to Norwich and you don't make the first team coming from a bigger club, that's got to have an effect on you. So there's those little caveats that you got to think about. But yeah, it'd be good to see what happens to him in the future. Talking about another French guy now. I've heard recently Chelsea are in for this guy, Fofana.
Okay, I've not heard that they're in for him, but it kind of makes sense because a lot of your centre-backs are out of contract soon, aren't they? But yeah, I think this guy is another one. I mean, we're probably going to say this about most of them on the list, but he is beyond his years in terms of his intelligence.
Different for a centre-back.
Positioning
as well,
and stuff like that. And you can see this year, lesser pieces at the back, and not saying he completely held that together. Johnny Evans has obviously been a big part of that as well. But when you can tell a player's in the defensive role, sometimes that's the biggest credit that you can give them, the fact that you've noticed that they're not there. That makes sense. Like with a striker, the headlines be how many goals and stuff, but sometimes with a centre back it's like, oh, look how crap, because the Fofana's not playing. I think we're seeing that.
Yeah, and I don't want to do too many comparisons, but he kind of reminds me of Rudiger in that streamlined kind of physique. And he's, like you said, he's intelligent, you know, defensively as well. Does need brushing up. Can't give him, like, he's not a complete fucking defender, but I think the right guidance, again, he's going to be someone who's very good. The problem is, he's obviously injured. We don't know what's going to happen off the back of that injury, whether he can come back and sustain a good period of football at the level he was at before or better, yet to be seen. But I feel like he's someone who, again, if he does join like a Chelsea, I wouldn't say United, even an Arsenal, you know, if Arsenal do, they're on carry on doing well, if they have someone like him at the back.
Well, he was linked to us because he had a really good partnership with Saliba in their year in St. Etienne. And yeah, that would have made sense. Although I'm not a fan of having two new centre-backs to a league, at least they knew how to play. Yeah, he's played in a three for a lot of the time. But
yeah,
I think playing a two as well.
And I've seen things where apparently he's filled in centre defensive mid as well. So he's got the ball playing skills as well. So I think he's someone, because he's a centre-back, automatically, you know, you're thinking, okay, right, so this kid's obviously got something about him, because you don't really talk about centre-backs in these types of lists. So, yeah, he's got to be up there. You know, I mean, we could have been talking about Ake years back, and he's obviously at City. I wouldn't have, I'd say Fofana was better than Ake at his age, 100%. Yeah. So, and Ake was bought by City for 40 million. So, if you just look at it simply, I can't see how Fofana will not progress. And France seem to produce these amazing centre-backs. They've got a factory for them. They must do. So, yeah, he's definitely in there. The next one,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
next one, then. Adeyemi. Yeah. On form at the moment, he's really doing well. And
yeah, Liverpool been linked with him, haven't they, recently?
Liverpool, going back to Bayern Munich. I know he was at Bayern Munich as a youth player. There's Barcelona, one in so many people, Newcastle, obviously, with the amount of money they got. 19 years old, striker. He's very streamlined, very fast. Put the ball back in there. What more do you want? What more do you want?
Yeah, he's one of them players as well that can play, even though he hasn't had much, you know, game time in career. Like, you can see he can play on the wing as well if he wanted to. He's quite physical for size. I guess if we're talking about Liverpool, probably someone a little bit like a Jota, maybe. But say he's quicker than Jota, and yeah, he's a better finisher, really, with the goals, the rate that he's scoring this season.
Yeah, you're doing well. But again, it might be because I've been hit by it, but my only worry with players from Bundesliga or those, you know, Austrian league or, you know, those types, that way, what would you call that? Is it Germanic? Germanic way? Is that the right?
They're both called the Bundesliga, aren't they? They're still the Bundesliga, so you could call it that.
That area, anyway. I worry because it kind of gives you a false hope of what a player's like. But I'm under no illusion that if Harden was to move to the Premier League, I don't think he would do as well as what he's doing in the Bundesliga. The only person I can almost guarantee would do well was Lewandowski.
Yeah.
And Adeniemi, I feel like he just needs to stay in the Bundesliga and the German one. Go there or something, because you build your confidence there. Come over to, I think Liverpool would be the only one where I think Klopp could actually develop him perfectly.
Yeah, the only thing he's not got is he's not that good at, you know, keeping the ball possession. But to be fair,
like, just needs to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, Liverpool's forwards, other than Firmino, just really there to score goals, hit teams on the counter a lot of the time. So yeah, that would be a good shout. But if we are going to compare him to someone right now, I don't know. I feel like it's someone like Jota.
Yeah, I think you're right. We'll see what happens. I don't think going Barcelona, I've seen the rumours, I don't think going Barcelona would be the best idea, especially the state they're in at the moment. I think Liverpool would be the smartest one, or Bundesliga.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to take a lot of money, though, to get him out of Spurs.
Yeah. Right, next up, staying in the Bundesliga, Chelsea youth player, and Bayern Munich, I suppose, centre-attacking mid, Musiala, another... Like I just said, product of Chelsea.
Should have been an England player, really.
Yeah, picked Germany, didn't he? He's a good player. He can score from far. He's your typical late into the box runner. He suits Bayern Munich perfectly, really. Passing, shooting, he's got it all. Got vision. I think he's got the confidence to be in a team like Bayern Munich. And I think he made the right choice. He made the choice quite young to move to Bayern Munich. You know, he could have. Someone seeing Chelsea, all these players, you know, start to come through. There were obviously rumours that Lamps was coming in. You know, prior, you know, things there would have been stuff behind the scenes about the youth players and whatnot, and their opportunities. And he's made the choice to go to Bayern Munich, and what a choice it is.
Yeah, going to Bayern is definitely the right choice. What you've just said there about confidence, for me, that's kind of what sums this guy up, really. I mean, to be around top players in Bayern Munich, you know, not be afraid and stand out as one of the weaker ones. And now he's getting regular game time in the Bundesliga and in Europe. And he's starting to get into that German side as well. Played at the Euros, the youngest or one of the youngest ever German players play in a tournament. And he, you know, he's big for his age as well. Like, he looks like a grown adult despite being 19 years old. It's crazy, really, how good he is. And yeah, I think with the right coaching he's going to get at Bayern, and he's going to get a Germany underhand flip as well, he is going to be one of these players with a mainstay top side for years and years to come.
Yeah, and we've got yet another Bundesliga player. Is it Ritz, you know?
Yeah, how do you say? At number four, yeah, they're all over. Loads.
Yeah, I think he's just filled Havertz's boots, I think. I think he's just done wonders this year. Cameron Blue, he's very talented, he's on the ball. I think he's now made his feature in Germany's men's team, the official, like, you know, the actual national team. He scores goals, and he's again, similar to what we were just talking about. Although I feel like Rich is more, you know, Havertz is kind of silky on the ball. But I don't know about you, but I feel like anything he does, it just seems a bit lucky at the moment. Obviously means it, but it just seems a bit lucky. Like any skill he pulls off, it's just like, that was a bit, you got away with that one. Whereas Ritz just seems more assured in his skills and going forward, scoring goals. So I think we're at a point where Germany's, I feel like they've got to that 2006, you know, World Cup, and then I think it was a failure after that. Where did 2006 they failed? After that?
Well, that's when they hosted, weren't it? And that was kind of the time where they were said to have changed everything.
So yeah, they got to that, and then after that, the failure after that, I think really must have set something in them where they're like, you know, I'm going to change the way we bring these players through. And it's clear, you know, they've picked from that era. They've obviously had a focus, a sight on how these players will come through. And Witts being one of them, Havertz another. They're clearly designed to be that dropping between the line players going forward, play on the edge kind of player, and very calm and collected on the ball. Not so much of a rushy player, although Witts, or however you say his name, he can drive at players as well. Whereas I think Havertz does. I know naturally I'm going to compare the two because they're playing the same position, they played for the same team, and they're both the same nationality. Havertz does drive at players, but it's more of a glide. And if that doesn't make sense to you, it's just Ozil, another one. You know, like, you obviously familiar with Ozil. When he drove at players, it wasn't fast, was it? It was like a
it wasn't like aggressive either. Like it was it was great.
Whereas Witts is, or whatever his name is he's still got that drive speed at players, is more direct with it. But not in a Raheem Sterling type of way. It's odd. But definitely someone to keep your eye on, because he's been doing really well. And when Germany gets a player who starts to flourish, they become quite big in that short space of time. I can't think of any player from the German league who's not carried on being well, like doing well. Like a youth player, who's been, you know, hyped up a little. Not one. Every single one of them has actually gone on to do brilliant things. So yeah, I think watch your space with him.
Yeah, admittedly, I've not seen as much of this guy as you may have, but look, if he's sort of almost a carbon copy of Havertz, say, then I think he's got to be well in with a shout at being in the top five. So four is a good number for him, I think.
That's it. 100%.
Yeah, I'll take a line out for him and see how he does. But yeah, at number three, we've got a player who I think is probably the most established, it's fair to say, out of all of them in this list, and that is Arsenal's very own Kai Saka.
Yeah, Mr. Established. When he first, and I don't know, this is for me, because when I first saw him, I think he played a Champions League game, it must have been European. And he played centre midfield. Well, it seemed like he did anyway. It seemed like he played through the centre. And I think he scored or set one up.
I think you're right. I think he might have been an attacking field. That's where he was. A lot of the youth split between attacking mid and on the wing.
That was my memory of him anyway. You have a better memory yourself being an Arsenal fan. But when I first saw him, I thought, okay, give and take it. He's been able to do a few passes here and there, nothing special. And then when he changed from that position, and I think he must have filled in left back or right back, or one of these
left back he did. Was injured.
Filled in that position, right? And I suppose this must have been at the same time where Reece James was popping up and Lamptey was around, and your traditional right backs, left backs were not defenders. They were still basically attacking. And when he moved in that position, you saw a whole different play. His confidence went up. His ability to take players on, he just went up 150%. He was just taking them on and getting past. He doesn't appear fast, but he is. He drops his shoulder really well, retains the ball really well. And his crossing ability, personally, I think is brilliant. He's not Reece James level, but I think he's up there. Like, it's very accurate. And the fact he can play in a number of positions as well at his age and establish himself in the England team as well. Let's not forget, I don't think he played in that Italy game, didn't he? Where we got to the semi-finals in Europe.
He played in a lot of the games, from about the second or third game.
And he still has. He still continues to play in these England teams. I think he's a really good player. I think what my views are like on Arsenal. I don't give him credit when they don't need it. That's only because Arsenal fans seem to give themselves credit and believe some delusional shit for years. But when they deserve credit, I'll give it. And this guy here is a brilliant player. Like, if Arsenal do continue to play well, I think they can keep him and build a team around him. If they don't, I can see him 100% going to a team like City and just taking himself to another level, winning trophies, etc. He's that good. My problem is with him is, and this is not to be naming because obviously we put him in a top three. My problem is with him is I can't see where he, ability-wise, he can get any better. Like, we talked about the Mbappes and Haaland. I can't see in his game how he can improve his game to that level. Maybe it's his position. Maybe he needs to score a lot more goals than he is, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or create more. Because it's obviously, what's happening now is Emil Smith Rowe and Saka are now slowly becoming the two together. Whereas, look elsewhere, it's Mason Mount by himself in that position. He's the man for the midfield at Chelsea. Haaland is the man himself in the centre mid. Someone we're going to mention later on, not centre mid, up front, sorry, centre forward. Someone we're going to mention later on is the man in the middle. Whereas Mbappe is the man for PSG up top. Established in that sense, Saka has been for a while. Now, Emil Smith-Rowe come on the scene. I'm worried it's going to become a partnership as opposed to two singular top talent, which could dampen his progression at that club, if that makes sense. Because like the Lacazette-Aubameyang kind of thing. For some reason, they got partnered together, maybe because they got a good friendship, whatnot. I don't know what it is. But you see now, Lacazette has kind of improved a little bit because Aubameyang's been left out of the team. And I feel like Saka the focus needs to be on him. Stupid as it sounds, because a lot of people say can't put too much pressure on the kids. But I think the pressure for Saka, specifically him, you know, it doesn't work for a lot of people. Let's be real. You know, you put a lot of pressure on a different kid, they can falter. I don't, like, say, for instance, if you put the pressure on Greenwood to be the man for Man United, I don't think that will happen. But you've put the pressure, Arsenal have put the pressure on someone like Saka, and he's thriving. He's done really well with it. And I think he needs to be the main man.
See, I don't agree with that. I think,
okay,
although what you're saying is right about Saka, that's necessarily what's best for Arsenal.
No, I don't care about Arsenal. I'm talking about Saka.
So I can't see why we would do that. Because, all right, let's just pluck some imaginary numbers almost. But, you know, in your scenario where we're playing every sack and get 10 goals, 10 assists in a season, right, for example, if we're playing how we're playing at the moment, I think Saka still gets 8 goals, 7 assists, but Smith Rowe gets maybe 8 or 9 goals as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, although Saka is capable of better if we play a little bit more, really playing completely around, I think the team would suffer a little bit as a result. He's such a good team player that he'll just enable others to play better, really. People play better when they play with him. And that's probably ultimately why he's not going to be one on the list, because, yeah, there is a little bit of a point where you can't see him being necessarily the star man. I know you're saying you want him to be for his sake, but that's just not his personality, and kind of the fact that he can play anywhere as well. Swiss Army knife of a player. He'll just help make everyone else better.
No, I think you're right. I think he may go under the radar. He might be one of those players that, you know, won't ever get to the top level just because he's such a team player. I don't know if there's anyone out there that has, you know, he might be one of those ones where people look back in the future when he's retired or whatever, appreciate a lot more then, maybe. You know, what you like, you did with Perlows and stuff like that. He may fade into the distance, but then he's actually a really good player. But he's so vital for Arsenal. And I keep seeing
he is our best. It's just he's now getting to share the limelight of others, which is good for us, really. That it's not all on him.
Yeah, 100%. It's not. It's for Arsenal's sake. It's better that you have more players in positions that are doing well. 100%. I think for Saka's sake, though, and it's. This it sounds stupid because obviously you're going to shine in a team if you're the best player and focus on you. But I think the way Arsenal play, I think him being the main man, him being the focus, could elevate him to the next level. You know, if it was all through him, I don't think his personality exudes that. I don't think he's, like you said, I think he's a team player, like you said. But I do think he's got the ability to be that main man. Like Sterling was, you know, he had to take that next move at to City to be that main man for a period, didn't he? Or be in a team. And I suppose it's the success as well through trophies in a team contributed to that as well. So I do think he's a brilliant player. And I can't, I don't really like Arsenal players. I don't like Arsenal. But there's something about him. I think he's very, very good. And he's a likeable character as well. So Saka, number three. Next one. In Barcelona, Pedri.
Yeah. I mean, I know we said that Saka's the most established player, but I think this guy has probably reached the highest highs of anyone already. I mean, what he did at the Euro was exceptional. Like, every time I watch Spain play, I think you'll know we both missed that Croatia game because we was at Wimbledon, so I can't tell you what he did in that game. But against Italy, he was class. He was every bit as good as Jorginho in that game, for sure. And he was, yeah, controlling possession. Very, very tidy player. He's, of course, because he plays for Barcelona, going to get comparison to the people like Xavi. But, yeah, rightly so. He's got such good technique. And he's from that La Masia production line. So he obviously knows how to play a certain way. That's what they're trying to build in Spain with Luis Enrique. So he's in the right shore. And Xavi's his manager now, isn't he, as well? So he's just going to, I think he's just going to get better and better with that. And he's picked up the Golden Boy Award recently as well. He must be so fit as well to play so many games. He played every game in the Liga pretty much last year. And then the Euros, and then he went to the Olympics as well. So, yeah, he needs a rest, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, for someone that age to play that amount of games, it's ridiculous. And would only, they always talk about, don't they, with kids. I need more game time, need more game time. Funny enough, we've got to say this kid needs less game time. It's ridiculous, but it is the situation. And I think to do that at that age and to have that responsibility on your shoulders and just take it like it's nothing on the biggest stages as well. The world is his oyster again. Like I've used that phrase earlier on, but yeah, he can do whatever he wants, really. My fear with Barcelona, like I said, with Adeyemi, is the state they're in at the moment. Are they really going to duplicate what they did in 2000, from the 2003 to 2010 period? Are they really going to bring those players in and be able to produce talent where they used to, you know, bring such a good group of players together, you know, not just one, bring a whole team of players together? Are they really going to be able to do it now, Barcelona? Have they kept that up? Because from recent years, I'll be honest, I can't think of one Barcelona player of recent years that has come through, except for this guy here.
The one that came to mind was Adama Traore of mine. That's not very good. That's the bar.
Yeah, I mean that they've lost it. They, you know, they've been living off 90s to early 2000s. You know, that academy, and I don't think. I mean, looking at this list so far, you're looking at the Premier League, and I wouldn't, you know, and I suppose looking at last year's list as well, you're probably looking at your likes of Chelsea, Arsenal, definitely. They've both been renowned to have good academy setups or be able to produce players. And you're looking at the Bundesliga, really, aren't you? Which, again,
yeah,
seems to be the case. Seems to be these kids from England, which we'll talk about next one, go over to Bundesliga and develop their career there. So that's my biggest fear for him. I feel like he's got bags and bags of talent, but is Barcelona the right place for someone like that? Obviously, he's grown up and played there, I'm assuming, most of his life. Will Xavi get the best out of him? We'll see. Tune in next week. I've alluded to it. I think you can probably guess if you wasn't expecting this guy to be on the list, you're mad. He's an absolute talent. Yeah. I think
he's
every
the club... youngest player on this list as well.
Is he? Yeah. How old is he? 17?
No, he's 18. A few 18, but he's the youngest of those.
That is mad. He is someone I didn't really think would do this well. I heard about him, you know, when you listen. He's got, I believe, I don't know if it still stands, his shirt has been retired at his former club.
Yeah, we better just say, in case we don't know, but it's Jude Bellingham. And yeah, Bellingham retired the number 22 and he left, which to be, that's how he had one season there as a 16-year-old, possibly a 17-year-old, and they've already retired in shirt. Although I believe his brother is in Birmingham now, so whether they let him.
I read recently his brother might be getting tacked up again.
Okay.
By some top clubs. So, listen, first of all, his physical structure reminds me of a bit of Loftus-Cheek, but better. His ability on the ball is, and this is not hyping him up, I'm not saying he's anywhere near, but Zidane-esque. It's the only one I can think of, really. I'm not saying he can do all the skills, but just his movement on the ball. He can create, he can score goals. He's established himself in Dortmund from very early on. Champions League goals.
Yeah, he was good against Man City, weren't he? Haaland was a bit quiet. Bellingham was pretty good in both those games.
Yeah, he's an amazing player, and I'd love him at Chelsea. He's got the ability to drag that ball forward. And again, like we said with Saka, he's someone that's actually established himself in the England squad setup. To do that when you've got Declan Rice to compete with someone who's very good in the Premier League. I can't think of a better player his age. And the thing is, we talked about the one we talked under 21 or 21s and under that we talked about last year. He could easily be in that list. Pretty sure he might have been in that list. I don't know, but he could easily compete with them lot. Where some of these, like we said earlier on, some of these can't. I don't think that they can.
Yeah.
Where he could. He could be one of the best centre mids in the world if he carries on like this. I can't see how.
And he can kind of take it how he wants. He's got the ability to be like, you know, a Lampard or a Platini, but he could also probably, if he wanted to, be more of a defensive-minded player as well. You know, maybe like a Vieira or something like that. Those are obviously big names that I've chucked up there. But he's 18. The best way I'll describe it is just playing like a grown man, like he's playing the game for 10, 15 years. Like nothing seems to faze him. Did you see his interview as well recently about the referee?
Yeah, he's not afraid to, you know, make his point. He's had a few issues, hasn't he, in the past where goals have been disallowed and stuff like that. I think against Man City, I believe.
Yeah,
get a goal VAR.
That's a bit of a dodgy VAR call, that one.
Yeah, so there's all these little bits here and there, but that just proves it. He's experiencing every bit of football at such a young age, 17. Put into perspective, he's 3 years off of freaking, well, Saka's 20, isn't he?
Oh, he's 18 now.
He's 18, 2 years off of Saka. I mean, that's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what was, I don't know, I don't know any player except for the world-class ones that have gone on like Messi and Ronaldo and stuff like that. Even Ronaldo really wasn't as established as Bellingham is at his age. So yeah, it's a bit of a mad one. But yeah, what a list. It's underwhelming compared to what we listed before in the previous. I do feel
a year off as well. It was under 21. So like in the last, Mbappe when ruled out and stuff, we did it under 21. So it would be interesting to see how some of these players develop for sure. Like we know, I think we're pretty confident on some of the ones higher up, but yeah, a bit lower down. But like Adeyemi, it'd be interesting to see what happens with him.
Yeah. I'm obviously self-interested with Chelsea. That Broja I spoke about obviously didn't make the list. I'm interested to see what happens with him. Gilmore, obviously he made our list. I think he should, under the right guidance, be established. Ritz, I don't know if he can maintain it. Saka, we spoke about him. Fofana, how's that injury going to impact him? Camavinga, is he going to establish himself in that Real Madrid first team? Greenwood, would the likes of Sancho overshadow him if he hits form? And Ronaldo, Adeyemi, like you said, if it, the only place he can really go to is stay in the Bundesliga or go to Liverpool. If he goes to a team like Newcastle, that's it for him. Might as well be bloody, I don't know, Adebayor, because I don't think he's got any support in Newcastle. Musiala, I suppose he's like a similar vein to Bellingham, but he just needs to up his game. Pedri, take a rest, mate. And I can't think of a team where he could go, actually. It's weird, because Barcelona's it's a club where you're made in Barcelona. You kind of have to stay in Barcelona, but you really need the foundations around him. Him playing with, say, I don't know, well, he would have been playing with lots of Aguero, retired Aguero if he stayed on, and Dembele, and you know, players that are not top players where previously they would have been. It's hard to establish where he's going to be, but it's a weird one. But hopefully we do this next year and we'll see what new players have come through and where these lot are. There's one player I would say that may pop up in the future. I didn't mention him. I think it's called Xavi Simmons. He plays for PSG in the centre midfield. And I feel like he can do a job at centre back as well. But
he looks like a baller, that's for sure.
And he's been marketed from very young.
Yeah.
I want to say that. So keep your eye out in the next coming year or so for that player. I think he's starting to break his way through. We'll see. So thank you, people. That was day 31. That is the end. Podmas. Am I correct in saying that, Jack?
Yeah. Happy New Year, and here's to another year of FT Law.
That's it. Keep it.
FT Law.